Proverbs 19, verse 11 and 12. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. All right, here's the first thing. Sudden anger is to be controlled. Sudden anger is to be controlled. If you're one of these who prides yourself on the fact that you've got a short fuse, you need to be careful, because the Bible has quite a bit to say about you. Some people say, well, you know, I'm Irish, and so it just kind of runs in my family. Or some people say, well, you know, I'm a redhead, and redheads are known for a hair trigger fuse. And so, and then somebody say, well, don't worry about it. It's not going to last long. Well, folks, a tornado doesn't last long either. But it takes days, weeks, months, or even years to clean up the mess. Let's see what the Bible says about getting angry in a hurry. Now, we've got to qualify this. Getting angry in a hurry. Our text says, the discretion of a man defers his anger. In other words, a wise man doesn't fly off the handle suddenly. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 17 says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. In other words, you're a fool if you get angry quickly. You say, well, don't call me a fool. Oh, I didn't. God did. Proverbs chapter 15. Verse 18 says, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 8 says, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof when thy neighbor has put thee to shame. In other words, if you put your mouth in action before you put your brain in gear, you're probably not going to be able to finish what you start. Proverbs 29, verse 20 says, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. In other words, you're going to have to improve some before you come up to fool. When you're quick to anger, there is so much that you're going to lose. You can lose your job. Lose your friends, lose your husband, lose your wife, lose your health. You can even lose a few teeth. And you know what else? You can lose your testimony. Sudden anger is to be controlled. How? Well, first of all, you confess it. A lot of folks don't like to admit that they get angry. They say, I am not mad. By the way, if you repress it rather than confess it, it's going to do you all kinds of damage. You may say that you're not angry, but I can tell you this, your stomach's keeping score. When you get angry, adrenaline begins to pump through your bloodstream. Your blood pressure starts to rise. Your muscles get tense. They're getting ready for either fight or flight or both. Your hands get sweaty. Your eyes dilate. And when those feelings start, confess them to the Lord immediately. Don't repress them. But not only confess, consider. Consider what it is that's making you upset. Look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. It says, he that is slow to anger is of great understanding. Confess it. Consider it. Number three, control it. You say, I can't control it. Yes, you can. Don't tell me you can't control it. You and your wife can be having one of those family discussions that can be heard for about two blocks. And the telephone rings. And you pick it up and you go, hello. Instantly you have controlled your anger. So don't tell me that you can't turn it on and off at will. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11, our text, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterward. When you feel that first blast of anger, confess it, consider it, and control it. Sudden anger is to be controlled. Next, sinful anger is to be condemned. Why do we defer anger, like our text says, and why are we to be slow to wrath? Well, I'll tell you why. We're to be slow to wrath so that we can figure out if our anger is righteous anger or sinful anger. If it's sinful anger, it's to be condemned and it's to be dealt with harshly. It's to be repented of. Folks, unjustified anger is not a weakness, it's wickedness. There's one thing God will never, ever, 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 ever accept for your sin, and that's an alibi. Sinful anger is anger without a cause. Jesus said that if we're angry at our brothers without a cause, and I'm going to put a parenthesis right here. This isn't in the notes. I just want to tell you, if you've got one of those modern perversions of the Bible, that verse that talks about if you're angry at your brother without a cause, the phrase without a cause is left out. So it reads, if you're angry with your brother, you're in danger of hellfire. That's not what God said. You don't need any of those modern perversions. Get you a good King James Bible because there are no mistakes in it. You think there are? Come and see me. I'll challenge you to a little contest. There are none. But it says, if we're angry at our brother without a cause, we're in danger of hellfire. Now, many times anger is not from what someone has done. It may stem from our own frustrations or our own lack of peace with God, but not only is anger without a cause sinful anger, so is anger that is centered on a person rather than anger that's centered on their offense. If you have anger that makes you hate a person rather than hate what the person's done, that's sinful anger. Sinful anger desires revenge. Sinful anger is stored up in the heart. Sinful anger has an unforgiving spirit. It refuses to forgive. Sinful anger must be repented of because God's not going to accept an alibi. Sudden anger is to be controlled. Sinful anger is to be condemned. But next, stubborn anger is to be conquered. Proverbs chapter 19. Verse 11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. It's a great victory when we learn to forgive and get over it. But some people don't seem to be able to do that. You know, you're not to be conquered by anger. God wants you to be victorious. Now let's slip over into the New Testament. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. It says, be angry. There's your command to be angry. It says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. When you let the sun go down on your wrath, that's stubborn anger because you have chosen to live with your anger. Husbands and wives can get into an argument, and rather than staying up long enough to make sure you forgive one another, they go to bed back to back. And when you do that, you open the door for old Slewfoot to come in. You're saying, devil, just come right on in and wreck my home. You've given the devil a place. And verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. The devil's there always wanting to come in. And it's that stubborn anger that becomes the devil's campground. And when you let the sun go down on your wrath, the devil has six steps that he's going to destroy you with. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness, there's step one. And wrath, that's step two. And anger, that's step three. And clamor, that's step four. Evil speaking, that's step five. Be put away from you with all malice, that's step six. Those are the six steps. By the way, six is the number of man. 666 is the perfect, imperfect man. That's the number of the Antichrist. So six is not really a good number in the Scriptures. Now, bitterness is what comes when somebody does you wrong or when you think somebody's done you wrong. Hebrews calls it a root of bitterness. We talked about that a little bit last week. You know, when you go out in your front yard and you try to pull up a dandelion, you just pull the top off. You haven't solved the problem. You pull the top off, you just strengthen the root. The root's still there. Bitterness comes after you've been hurt or you think your rights have been trampled on or you think you've been overlooked or something like that. And you think you have a justified anger, and that's what the Bible calls bitterness. Step two is wrath. Comes from a Greek word which means heat. You get all hot and bothered about it. There's a slow burn going on inside of you. Your bitterness turns to burning. When you're smoldering, that's an ugly feeling, isn't it? The bitterness becomes smoldering, but then it becomes anger. See, wrath was on the inside, but now anger is on the outside. Those smoldering rags have now burst into flame. Anger is followed by clamor. That carries with it the idea of being vocal and being loud. When people get angry, their voice starts to rise. When you get loud, your clamor turns to evil speaking. When you hear yourself getting loud, then you start to say things you really don't mean. You start to say, I wish you were dead. I wish you were never born. You say hateful things. You're on a roll. And the devil says, yeah, tell him this too. And you say things you don't really mean. And you verbalize them because bitterness is now turned to burning. Burning's turned to anger. Anger's turned to clamor. Clamor's turned to evil speaking. But then, evil speaking turns to malice. That's when you want to hurt somebody. You'll either hurt them with your fist, or you'll hurt them some other way. That's when a mom slaps a child. That's when a husband will abuse a wife or vice versa. That's when somebody goes for the gun. And the devil's in the corner grinning because you're the one who opened the door and let him in. You gave place to the devil because you let the sun go down on your wrath. Sudden anger is to be controlled so you can have a chance to think it through. Sinful anger is to be condemned immediately. Stubborn anger is to be conquered. How do you conquer it? First of all, you recognize it. You have to trace back and say, why is it that I'm really angry? You have to find out where that root of bitterness is, because taking the tops off of that dandelion, that doesn't do it. You got to get down to the root of the matter. Recognize it. Admit it. And confess it. Secondly, repent. This verse says to put it away from you. Are you willing to put it away? God's not going to do it for you. The word repent means to change direction or change your mind. You have to choose against it. And then next, you repudiate the devil. You gave him the place. Now it's up to you to kick him out. You say, devil, you no longer have a place in my life, so get out of here in the name of Jesus Christ. I gave you a place. I'm taking it back now. So scram. And when you do that in the name of Jesus, his blood will cleanse that place. The Bible says, And a lot of times people will misquote this. They'll leave part of the verse out. James says, submit yourself therefore unto God and resist the devil, and he must what? Flee. Some people just say, resist the devil and he must flee from you. You resist the devil, he's going to knock you upside the head. Submit yourself to God first. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Then resist the devil, and he must flee. And then next, rely. Rely on the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 32 says, he'll give you the power to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You know, we'd better look into the book of Proverbs, into the book of Ephesians. We need to learn how to deal with our stubborn anger. If I was really to get down and quiz you, some of you'd have to admit that you've been angry for a long, long time. You've been feeding a grudge for a long time, and it's not worth it. How many times have you heard me say, bitterness is an acid that destroys the container in which it's held? Sudden anger is to be controlled. Sinful anger is to be condemned. Stubborn anger is to be conquered. And sanctified anger is to be channeled. Verse 26 tells us to be angry. But then it says, be angry and sin not. So there is an anger that's not sinful at all. If this anger was sinful, then Jesus was a sinner. I promise you that's not true. Because Jesus, on a number of occasions, was moved with anger. Mark chapter 13, verse 1 through 6. And he, Jesus, entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they, the Pharisees, watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. Can you imagine? And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, the Pharisees, Sadducees, those guys, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? To save a life or to kill? But they held their peace. He'd gotten their goat. And when he had looked around, when he looked around about on them with anger, you see it? When he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto him, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole like the other one. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. You can be moved with anger because Jesus was angry, but without sin. You can be good and mad. As a matter of fact, if there are some things out there that don't move you to anger, there's something seriously wrong with you. What moved Jesus to anger? Well, I tell you, it was the attitude of the Pharisees towards this poor paralyzed man. The problem the Pharisees had with Jesus was not a theological problem. It was a personal problem. Jesus had been upsetting their apple cart. You see, before this, before Jesus came along, people had been bragging on the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and you know, they looked up to them, they were following them, they had seats in all the high places. And now crowds are falling after Jesus. And these Sadducees, Pharisees, Herodians are filled with rotten envy and anger and pride and selfishness. They didn't care about people who were hurting. You know, sometimes it's love that makes us angry. When we see people who are made in the image of God being destroyed, that ought to make us angry. Abraham Lincoln went down to the slave market in New Orleans, saw a beautiful black girl being auctioned off on the auction block. And a righteous indignation began to well up in him. He told the man standing next to him, "This is wrong. One of these days, if I have a hand in it, I'm going to hit it hard." His was a righteous anger. If I had time to tell you the rest of the story, you'd see that he actually did. Martin Luther, the great leader of the Great Reformation, he said, "When I'm angry, I pray better and I preach better." There was this little half-pint preacher, didn't hardly weigh 100 pounds soaking wet. He said, "When I get angry, I weigh a ton." Folks, let me ask you something. Doesn't the killing of little innocent, unborn babies make you mad? Jesus never got angry when somebody harmed him. You're never going to find Jesus retaliating against anybody. He didn't even get angry when they nailed him to the cross. What did he do? He prayed for them. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But he was moved with a righteous anger when he saw other people being misused and abused. Righteous anger doesn't get angry at the person. It gets angry at the injustice the person is doing. Righteous anger doesn't get angry at the sinner, but at the sin. You can love the sinner and still be angry at their sin. You know how I know? Because I get angry at me and I love my wife's husband. The reason you get angry with yourself is because you love yourself. Love's what motivated Jesus. Godly anger is not getting even with somebody. It's a righteous indignation that doesn't sin. Godly anger comes at the right time. It's expressed in the right way. It's aimed at the right thing. Righteous anger has to be channeled. When we get angry at the injustices we see, we need to do something about it instead of just talking about it. You say, "Well, that's what we pay you for, Pastor. We're behind you right down to the very last drop of your blood." Oh, yeah? When people are righteously angry, that's worth more than all the law books in the Library of Congress. We get angry at the right time. We get angry for the right reason. We get angry for the right things and in the right way. Sudden anger is to be controlled. Sinful anger is to be condemned. Stubborn anger is to be conquered. Sanctified anger is to be channeled. Proverbs 19, verse 12, "The king's wrath is as roaring lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass." I want to tell you something. The King of Kings is Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You can face his wrath if you want to, but you know what? You can also have his favor if you want to. You can be saved today and not have to face the king's wrath. You can be saved by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You're not going to be able to conquer anger or anything else until you have Christ living on the inside. It's not, this may sound funny, it's not victory over the devil that we need. It's the victor over the devil that we need. Whatever you're filled with is what spills out. It's what I call seven-up theology. Just imagine, you remember the old green bottles of 7-Up? I mean, they're sitting there on the table. It's all looking cool, calm, and collected. Shake it up and see what happens. See, what spills out is what you're full of. In the country, we say what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. If you're filled with Jesus, then when you're jostled, Jesus will spill out. But you need to be saved and to have every sin forgiven. And to be saved means that Jesus now lives in your heart. To be saved means that when you die, you'll go to heaven. To be saved means that not only that, but you'll have abundant life here and now. Wouldn't you like to have abundant life here and now? Not just to have a someday hope-so salvation, but to have a right now no-so salvation. Wouldn't that be good? Well, some of you have it. I do. John said in 1 John, I think it was chapter 5, about verse 13, 17, somewhere in there, I've written these things that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know it. You can walk out of here today absolutely certain that your sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ, that you can have all the power you need in this life right now, and that one day you'll go to heaven to spend eternity with Jesus Christ and anyone else who's repented of their sin and invited Him to be their Lord and Master. You know, I've lost track how many funerals I've done over the last nearly 40 years. Been a bunch of them. Done a bunch of them right here in this church. Well, every time somebody dies, every time somebody will talk about, well, Uncle John, he's in heaven now. Aunt Susie, she's in heaven now. May not be. You know, if all they ever did was just profess to believe in God, the devil believes in God, he's going to spend eternity in hell. Belief up here doesn't do it, folks. Belief up here is not going to get you into heaven. Belief up here is not going to give you power for daily living. It's only when the belief up here moves down here and changes who you are. The writer of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, 17, says, if any man, woman, boy, girl, if anyone be in Christ, they are a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Somebody look at your life today and say, man, they're different than they used to be. I guarantee you they say that about me. You go tell some of my old cohorts, Gary's a preacher now. This is yeah, right. Because they know what I used to be. I'm not like that anymore. Believe me, it's still just kind of bubbling under the surface sometimes. But it's like I tell people that I baptize. Look, when I baptize you up there, stick a no fishing sign up there when you walk out. Leave that old person dead and buried. Don't go fishing them up again. Sometimes we try to do that. What about you? You've been saved, been born again, been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your sins white as snow, though they used to be like scarlet? They can be before you leave this place today. Our musicians are going to come. They're going to get ready to play a hymn of invitation, and you're going to have the opportunity to come forward and pray and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I've been doing it my way. It hadn't worked out so hot. I'm just going to place my whole life in your hands. You've got control now. You're the boss. You tell me what to do, where to be, what to say. You're in charge. I'm taking my hands off the reins of my life because it hadn't worked out so good with me driving. That's kind of what it means to be saved. Have you ever done that? If you haven't, you need to. Because, friend, you're going to walk out of that door today. You're either going to walk out under the blood or over the blood. There's no in between. You're going to leave here saved or lost. That's it. Consider that. What are we going to sing?
107.
107 is the number. Please stand. Please don't distract anybody. This is the most important part of our service, where we give people the opportunity to make an eternal decision for Jesus Christ. I hope if you've never done that, you'll do it today. And if there's any other reason why you need to come, invitation's for you. The altar's open. Whatever the Lord's calling on you to do, just be obedient to it. You come as we sing.
Father, we thank you so much for your salvation, your redemption. We thank you, Lord, for your book that tells us how to live and how to live happy and abundant lives. Help us this week, Lord, to follow you and your word and what you'd have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please, for just a few seconds and let Craig give us some announcements, please.
Pastor Gary, you need to stop following me around taking notes for your sermons. Thank you for that one today. March 26th, Lee, is that the right date? We're going to have breakfast as another fundraiser for the youth. It will be served at 8 o'clock here at the church in the Fellowship Hall so we can get cleaned up and ready for class after that. Wednesday nights are back on for dinner and fellowship. So we have lunch or dinner at 6 o'clock, and then 6:30 we have fellowship for everybody. Messages on the boards. Choir practice today at 1:15, and if you are in the admin committee, we're going to have a meeting right after church in the fellowship hall real quick. Larry wants to give us some stuff. Be 5-10 minutes. Won't be nothing else. I think that's it. Did I get them all? All right. Well, let's...
Thank you. Thank you, Craig. Let's stand and let's dismiss with the bond of love.
Love.